This is Ann Mission. You're listening to Watch Us Go, Talk of Muskegon. And today I have Debbie Jensen with us here from SafeBuilt, which is does the inspections for the city of Muskegon. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Ann.
Can you tell people, how long have you been with SafeBuilt?
Well, I've been with SafeBuilt since we started in the city in November of 2012 with the building department. And then in December of 2013, we started doing the rental inspections and code enforcement.
All right.
I was with the city prior to that, so.
Yes. And because before then, the city did their own inspections, had their own employees in that, and then they actually contracted it out with this private company so that who have all the experience in that to go out and do the inspections and whatever else is needed in that position.
Right. When SafeBuilt came in, they did hire City of Muskegon employees.
Yes.
Which made the transition a little better.
Yes.
And I was one of those. And
yeah.
So, and I'm still with SafeBuilt, and just we are expanding our services.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Do you guys work in other areas too?
We do. We work in the other side of the state. We work in Troy, and there's a lot of small municipalities over there. We're now in California, Florida, all over the countryside,
all over.
Really. Yeah.
All over.
Yep.
That's wonderful. Well, I know that today we were going to focus on tenants and landlords. I know that those are the questions that come up so much is, who's responsible for what, what do I do if I have a problem, my landlord's not taking care of this or what are my responsibilities in that? And you are the perfect go-to person because I know you get those calls all the time and you get to hear the stories and usually try to guide people and where they need to go or what they need to do. So. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the process is, first off, if you have a complaint, if you're a renter and you have a complaint, we don't take complaints over the phone. We're happy to take your complaints in person. They have to be in writing. So you would have to come down to our office, or if you're unable to come into the office, we'll be happy to mail you a complaint form to fill it out, have someone else bring it in, whatever works for you. But we do have to get them in writing, and we do need to have you show proof that you're currently living there, because if you used to live there and you have some issues, it's kind of over. We need to have just the current tenant come in with that complaint. We want to have you already try to resolve that with the landlord, and if you're at your wit's end with the landlord, he won't do anything or you don't think he's doing enough, that's when you come in and you see us, you fill out a complaint form, and our rental inspectors will process that, and they'll deal with it depending on the severity of the complaint. We have some 7-day, some 24-hour notices, which we give the landlords.
What would be an example of a 24-hour notice?
No water.
Oh, that would be important.
You know, no water. Yes. And the water bills, that's a bit of a confusion with some tenants. Mm-hmm. If the water bill is in your name and it gets shut off because of non-payment, that's your problem.
Right.
If the water bill is in the landlord's name and it gets shut off for whatever reason, that is a viable tenant complaint, and that is the landlord's problem. And we would request they take care of that within 24 hours.
You need to pay attention to that water bill when you first sign on, who's responsible for the water bill. Important.
Right. You want to read your lease.
Right.
Read it. See what you're responsible for and what he can and can't, or the landlord can and can't keep you, responsible for.
Okay.
So that's a big confusion. People don't really, whether you have the electricity in your name or not. We've had people in multi-unit dwellings come in, and somehow they've got the water bill for the whole building in their name, or the electric bill for the whole building in their name. And they weren't aware of that.
No, I wouldn't have even thought of it.
Yeah. Well, if you don't, really read your lease or your rental agreement, that could happen.
Okay.
If you're living in a multi-unit and you are paying one of those two bills, make sure that it's not for the whole building.
Right. Very important. Yeah.
In a case like that, obviously the owner or the landlord would have to have that bill in their name and split it up however they chose to split it up or include it in your rent. But the other thing we want, if you come in for a complaint, is ID, and we want to see a copy of that lease or rental agreement if you have that. And unfortunately, if they have already started the eviction process on you, we will not take a complaint.
Good to know.
A lot of those complaints are vindictive, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Some are real, some are not. But if you've already got the eviction notice, we cannot take that complaint.
All right.
So yeah, that's kind of a tough one. And we, you know, that's just the nature of the beast.
Right, right. So once eviction has started and something's been filed at the courthouse, and now they want to come in and they want to make complaints against the landlord, this is when you go, no, I'm not going to have part of this.
Right, okay. Right. We would, you know, certainly if you've been having problems with your landlord, we would right. hope you would have taken that up
yes.
with us before it gets to an
yeah.
eviction process.
Right.
So we can try to help you out.
Very important to know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we try to help as much as we can, but unfortunately, when you're on your way out,
yes,
it's kind of too late.
Right, right. Now, so for those people who are really computer savvy or maybe just like to do their own research, you know, because I'm one of those people. I think, Debbie, you already know that about me. I like to read my stuff myself and go hunting and searching. Where could people find what the ordinances or laws are about the whole landlord or...
Well, thank goodness the state makes available a booklet called Tenants and Landlords, a Practical Guide.
Yes.
And we have it in our office in the book form. Anne, I believe, has it in her office
we
most
do.
Of the time in mm-hmm. the clerk's office.
Yep.
And you can also Google it. It's Tenants and Landlords, a Practical Guide. And you can get it or read it online.
Yep. We give it out all the time.
Yeah,
people,
we do too.
Great the, information. Lots of phone numbers and very, very good right
and
from the state.
It has sample lease agreements, sample roommate agreements. It has tenants' letters to the landlord. If you don't know how to put together a proper letter.
Isn't that perfect?
Yeah. It has examples of mm-hmm. letters. It has, you know, also examples of landlord letters to tenants. So it kind of gives you a base to start with if you do want to write a formal letter to your landlord and have all that, you know, keep copies of everything.
Right.
But this booklet is really helpful. It has, you know, your rights in it, what to do with security deposit, how does an eviction notice actually work,
mm-hmm.
what they can and can't do, when you have to move out, you know, all that is in this booklet.
Right.
And we'd be happy to hand them out to you.
I love
office.
That book. That book helps so much.
It does.
And like having the form letters already ready for you,
mm-hmm.
you don't even have to pay an attorney or, you know,
right.
especially if you have a hard time, maybe just like being able to put your words and, you know,
right.
together
right.
that you have yep. it right there. And this, again, this is from the state of Michigan. So
mm-hmm.
this isn't anybody with, you know, ulterior motives. This is somebody that's, you know, to help both sides with this information.
Right. And like I say, we are a state senator, and their offices will get these for us for no charge. So we have
yeah.
them in our office all the time, and we give them out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the tenant and landlord practical guide, you can, or you may want to see, get on the city's website, which is the easiest way I always describe it is www.shorelinecity.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest way to remember it. And the code of ordinances for the city is listed there in the city clerk department in their area. It's just called Code of Ordinances. And the one that involves rental is chapter 10-351. And that'll talk about all of the rights and the ordinances regarding rentals.
And this is all for the city of Muskegon. If you go to look at chapter 10-351, this is what the city commissioners have adopted over the years, all the rules and regulations that the city of Muskegon has on for landlords and for tenants.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It's pretty inclusive. I mean, it gives you a lot of things you never would have thought of in there. But the basics are that, well, let's go back to the definition of a rental, which is rather confusing to people. The definition of a rental is any home that is occupied by someone other than the owner. And even if it's your family member, there is such a thing as a family rental. So if you are a parent and
mm-hmm.
you are buying a house for your child, you still need to set it up as a family rental. We don't charge you anything. There are no inspections involved, but it keeps that building or that home in the system as a rental because things change. You know, the person may move
right.
on. They may change their mind. So if it's not a family member and you're renting it out or letting someone live there, the term rental indicates that you're collecting rent. That really has nothing to do with it. If
okay.
you're bartering with somebody,
mm-hmm.
if you're just letting them live there for free, regardless of any money changing hands, a rental is any home that someone is occupying other than the owner.
Okay.
So that's kind of a misconception. You know, it's like we get people come in and they say, well, this is our family home. That's fine. That's right. Great. You know, but we do require that you register it as a family home. And that family certificate is actually only good for a single family home. So you can't have a duplex or a multi-unit home and register it as a family. You can only do that with single family homes.
Okay. So even if you lived in one side of a duplex and you let your child live on the other side, you wouldn't be able to register that?
Technically, no. Okay. The terminology in the ordinance is a single family home only.
Okay.
You buy it for your parent. You mm-hmm. buy it for your child. There's a couple of other relationships that will fit, like stepchildren.
All right.
We do require proof of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be too invasive, of course.
Right. No,
and we don't
no.
keep all this stuff on file. We just need to see the proof of relationship. And depending on the situation, we may need different things.
Right.
But
believe it or not, sometimes people aren't always the most upfront with us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You found that too? Yeah.
We try to think that, but everybody's mother, brother, sister, aunt lives in their house.
Yeah. So just know that it is spelled out, and that's why we're asking
for it. Right. It's pretty specific. Yeah. And the other thing that's maybe a little confusing is if you own a home that's a duplex, mm-hmm. and as the owner, you live in one half. It was always registered as a duplex or two or three unit. You're living there alone. You're using the whole home. One of the confusing parts is, well, why do I have to register the other half or the other units as a rental? Because you could potentially turn that into a rental at any time.
Yes.
So we need to keep an eye on that. So you could register it with something called an agreement not to occupy, which means you are the owner of this duplex. You're going to live in one half. You agree not to let anyone else occupy the other half mm-hmm. until you were to get it certified.
Right.
There's no inspections necessary. There is the fee, the rental registration fee, because we're still tracking this as a rental. But we are
How much
not,
is that fee?
It'd be $35 for a duplex for that a year.
Okay.
$35 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a confusing issue for people, too, and they say, well, I'm never going to rent it. Well, if you're never going to rent it and you want to change the home into a single-family home,
mm-hmm.
that requires you to come in and get a building permit. You're not actually building anything, but that is for our inspector to come out and take a look at the home and find out what you might need to do to set it up as a single-family home. You might need to remove a door. You might need to remove an outside staircase that would give access to a rental unit.
Okay.
Some are super simple, like say remove a door.
Right.
Some are not that simple, depending on how it was built as a rental.
Right.
So, but when we tell people to do that, once you revert back to a single family home, it's a lot tougher to go back if you want to sell it as a rental.
Yes.
So just, you know, keep all those options in mind, and we'll work those. We'll help you out with them at any point if you have questions.
Sure.
But it's a lot of that is based on the past history. If it has always been a duplex,
mm-hmm.
it's going to remain a duplex until you do something to change it.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, yeah.
And what happens if people don't register their rental?
Well, if they don't register a rental, we first start out once we discover that it is a rental, and there are several ways we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times a tenant will complain. Well, then we discover mm-hmm. that it's not a registered rental.
Or a neighbor might complain.
A neighbor
about it too.
Might complain. Mm-hmm. There's a number of ways we find out that it's a rental.
Yes.
But as soon as we find out that it is a rental and it's not registered, we first send out a letter to the owner stating that, hey, you know, we think this is a rental. It could be any number of situations. You moved, you didn't tell us,
right.
you know, you moved in, any number of situations. But all you need to do is contact us if you get that type of a letter. And we need to get the information. Has your address changed? Did you move into it? Has your situation changed and you're now renting it? You didn't know there was a rental ordinance.
Right.
Any number of situations pop up. You know, there's a lot of ignorance out there about what's necessary.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm just going to move across the state and I'm going to rent it to my neighbor or rent it to my whatever. Yeah. So
I don't expect that everybody who moves into the community sits down and reads that ordinance.
Oh,
book.
No. Yeah. No, heck no. So no. if you get one of these letters, it's not threatening in any way. Mm-hmm. We just say this is the ordinance and you need to do one of several things. And mainly if it is used as a rental, you need to come in, you need to register it. Mm-hmm. If it's a single family rental, it's $35 a year. If it's a duplex, a two-unit, it would be $40 a year for the landlord. And they have to register it, give us their information. And at that time of registration, they would we would check and make sure that all fees are paid to the city. They don't have a lot of outstanding fees. We would set up an inspection. And this is really important for the tenants to know, because if you move into a home that does not have a certificate, we have never inspected it or have not inspected it in some years. So we don't know how safe that is.
Right.
And the rental inspection is meant for your safety, the tenant's safety.
Absolutely.
And when our inspectors come in, that's a majority of what they're looking for are safety issues. We're not looking to make sure that, you know, everything is perfect or even, you know, pristine by any means. But we want to make sure that the electrical setup is correct. Mm-hmm. They have enough smoke detectors. You know, that the appliances work, that everything
is safe.
We've
had some very sad situations
that
have happened in the past and that could have easily been prevented if they had had one of those inspections.
Right. So as a tenant, you know, be responsible and find out if the home that you plan on renting is registered and certified. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. You can either call us. Our office number is 724-6766. Give us the address, and we'll be happy to tell you if it's registered or what the situation is.
So that is public information for people to know.
Oh, certainly.
Great.
Well,
that's
it's so public that it's actually on the city's website.
Oh, I like that.
So
that's good.
So you can go, again, on the city's website, shorelinecity.com, and under, you can either look at the Safe Built page, or you can search for rental registration, and it should come up with a link. It's called Rental Registration Search. You put in the address, and you have to make sure you have the right address.
Yeah.
But put in the address, and it'll search, and it'll come up and tell you what the status of it is.
You just taught me something there. I didn't even know we had that. That's
great.
Yeah,
it's been on there for a couple of years now, and it's been pretty helpful. A lot of the local organizations that actually help people get into rentals, they want to make sure that those homes are certified.
Absolutely.
They don't want to pay for somebody's rent for an uncertified home.
Right.
So the inspection takes place after it gets registered, and we do one inspection, and we take notes of whatever kind of violations might be going on. I mean, it could be as small as no screens. It's required that you have screens in your windows in the summer. So, I mean, it could be any number of things, but we give the landlord a list of the violations or the items that need to be taken care of. We give them usually 30 days, depending on the issue. Then we go back a second time and check it all. If everything is done and, you know, up to code, then we would give them their certificate.
Okay.
That certificate then is good for 4 years.
Oh, four years. That's a good long time.
Right, right. The annual registration is just that. It's annual.
Okay.
We need the new information from the landlord every year and the payment of 35 or 40 or whatever it might be every year.
Right. But you only have to go through the inspection every 4 years.
Correct. We're only going to inspect every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a problem as the tenant in between that time, that's when you would come in and you would file a complaint form. That way we have the right to ask the landlord to take care of such, you know, whatever the complaint might be, or we may end up coming back in and doing another inspection of some sort for that item.
Okay.
So that's why 4 years is a long time.
It is a very long time. I mean, do you tell the landlord who the complaint came from normally, or
we don't make that we don't blurt that out, but they know.
Yeah.
I mean,
normally,
anytime we get a complaint, whether it be for this or for somebody's neighbor's yard or whatever it might be, we don't record that information.
Right.
We don't record it, and we don't tell whomever we're setting up for the violation. We don't tell them.
So, I think so many times is people are fearful.
They are. But I mean, obviously, if it's a single family home, it's kind of obvious.
Right.
And
we
have to follow up with the tenant, too.
Absolutely.
You know, to make sure that they're satisfied with the fix.
Right.
So, one of the common misconceptions for complaints is, well, one of the big ones is infestations of, say, bed bugs.
Oh, yeah, it's
a nasty subject.
Oh, yeah.
But,
Maybe itch thinking about
it. I know. But if you're in a single family home and you have some sort of infestation of bed bugs, cockroaches, mice, whatever it might be, that is your responsibility. Unless, of course, there were big holes in the building letting rodents in, something like that. But if it's a single-family home, you brought the bed bugs in more than likely.
Right.
If it's a multi-unit, duplex, two, three, whatever it is, it's the landlord's responsibility.
Okay.
You can't just treat your apartment. He has to treat the entire building.
Oh.
And if he's not doing that properly, you... basis for a complaint.
Right.
And we'll make him, you know, we'll try to make, follow up on it, make sure he's doing the right thing. But
all right.
That is a very slow process getting rid of bed bugs. So, yeah, you can't
just...
you have
to get rid of all your stuff? Is that what
No, there are different treatments. Some are more expensive than others. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, putting a bug bomb in one apartment is not going to take care of it.
No. And I know we even have something about mattresses right now to get rid of a mattress.
Right. If you have, and this is, I don't know where all these mattresses are coming from, but we see mattresses out on the curb all the time. And because of the bed bug issues, they have to be wrapped in plastic or the garbage people will not pick them up. So even if you have an old mattress, you put it out there, you put your required sticker on it for garbage day, they will not pick it up.
Those are $2 at the city treasurer's
office. Yep, it's a $2 sticker. Yep, the pink stickers. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they can only be out there within 24 hours of your garbage pickup. So if your garbage pickup is Monday, you can't put it out there on Tuesday the previous week.
No.
That's a problem.
Yep.
So if your garbage pickup is on Tuesday, you can put it out Monday night. Also, your sticker may get stolen if you put it out there too early, and we can't be responsible for that, unfortunately. So, mattresses have to be bagged or they will not get picked up. So, FYI.
Yeah, you want to remember that. You don't want to have to pull it back in
and
wait another week.
No, definitely not.
Especially if you've already done this treatment, too.
Exactly, and you don't want to be handling this big, bulky mattress after it's been rained on or something.
No.
So, you know. Do it right the first time.
And it doesn't even mean that you're getting rid of the mattress because you have bed bugs.
No.
You could just be buying a new mattress.
Right.
Even in buying a new mattress, people, you still have to bag it.
Yeah, you have to bag it because the guys who are picking it up don't know why you're dumping
it.
No,
they don't. No.
And they're a little nervous about that sometimes. You know, we don't want to spread it any further than it already is.
Right.
So single family home, you're responsible. Duplex, landlord's responsible.
Okay.
The other issue we see a lot of, people are calling us complaining about mold.
Ooh.
They've called the health department, and the health department tells them to call us. Well, the issue with mold is that we cannot inspect for it. We're not certified for it.
Okay.
Mold occurs for many reasons. You can try, of course, cleaning the mold area yourself if it's that type of situation. Well, no, you know, bleach and water or whatever the situation might be. But if it's a persistent mold problem, you will want to find out where the moisture is coming from. And it's not necessarily a landlord problem that you have mold. It may be a landlord problem, whereas you have a leaky roof.
Okay.
Or you have a pipe that's leaking.
Yes.
So you can come in and you can complain about the result of that, but we need to make sure the landlord takes care of the reason the mold is there.
Right.
So that's what the complaint would be based on. So we want to get the roof fixed, because if you fix the mold and the roof is still leaking, it's going
to
come back.
Now, is it up to the tenant to figure out why there's mold before they can put that complaint in?
Or? No, not necessarily. But if they have some idea, you know, do your due diligence.
Yeah.
You know, are you guys, you know, leaving the water running? Are you, you know, is this something you're doing? Or is it really a building problem?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we want to make sure of,
right.
Is that, you know, if you're...
Because usually when you have mold, normally, I mean, in my the times I've seen it, it's been pretty apparent as to why there was mold.
Right.
At the time, you know, there's a leak right there, you know,
right.
And then, all of a sudden it's all damp around there or something. Yeah.
Exactly, right. Yeah. And the other misconception is that all mold people see is toxic.
Right.
Very little of it is toxic. So, you know, we try to tell people, calm them down, don't freak out.
Yeah.
It's not all toxic. Okay. You know, so.
Right. Yeah. Because that, you know, when you have children and stuff, especially in the home, you know, that's the first thing you're going to worry about. So that helps to relieve their mind. I mean, it's not something you want to ignore.
No.
But.
No, your first step would be to try to clean it up, see if it comes back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so we just try to work through. We're not trying to demean anybody, tell them they have a dirty house.
No.
We're just asking them to do your due diligence, you know, and help us out. Because if it's going to reoccur, it's not going to help anybody.
Right. Absolutely not. No, no. And then, well, you know, one of the things, and I remember this happening too, what about insurance? Because, you know, homeowners have insurance. Like if something were to happen to my house, I own my house, I'm covered under my insurance policy. So whatever, you know, unfortunately, if I lost everything, you know, there's some things, of course, you can't replace.
Right.
But I do have, I will be given funds to replace my items. But what does a tenant do?
Well, in the rental policy or the ordinance, the landlord has to have a minimum of $10,000 in fire insurance. Now, this fire insurance only covers the building. The landlord normally does not, nor would they be responsible for your contents. So for very little money, every tenant should have renter's insurance. That will cover your contents, your belongings.
Mm-hmm.
The landlord.
It really is very little money.
Oh, it's very little. Yeah. $4 or $5 a month.
Yes.
I mean, you can add it on to your car insurance sometimes.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Very little, and it's well worth it.
Yes.
But
you can add like $30,000 on there. I know.
Yeah.
I know somebody who recently did that, and it was amazing how little it was. It was like $10 for $30,000 coverage.
Right. It's very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, insurance is what it is. But, you know, when you need it, you wish you had it.
Yes. And that's what tenants should do. Now, landlords. They are now required to have this $10,000 fire, and that, but that fire is only pays for the services. It doesn't cover like the loss of their house.
Well, it depends on how they set up the policy.
Okay.
I believe. I don't know.
All right.
It has to. The policy has to read $10,000 minimum for fire damage.
Okay.
So, however that plays out, depending on the value of the home.
Yes.
Or the you know, depth of the damages. So
I'm
not really sure,
depending
on the policy.
Because I think part of that was to recoup the, because sometimes if a house could catch on fire and then the landlord decided to walk away from it, then the city is has to incur those costs to demolish the house and take all those expenses. So now they have an insurance policy that you're required to have. Just to avoid those kind of circumstances.
Right, so if the damage is severe enough that it's been a total loss, and the landlord decides, like you said, to walk away because the house isn't that valuable.
No.
So they walk away, and the city is then stuck with the demo bill, which is between usually $7,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, that goes back on taxpayers.
Right, so the landlords now have to have that insurance.
Yeah, so that's the reason. So that's the responsibility of the landlord. That's something they have
definitely,
to do.
But the tenant, please get renter's insurance.
Yes. Just a very little bit of money, and that's can go a long, long way. If you unfortunately lose everything in a fire, what a big difference that could
be. Right, I can't even imagine.
Right. And then now who is, you know, like say you get a letter about mowing your grass or something.
Mm-hmm.
Who is responsible for that?
Well, again, the responsibility lies with how your lease is written up.
Okay.
As far as the city's concerned, the responsibility of the property is always the owner. But if in your lease it says you need to mow the grass, then he's going to press you to mow the grass. But the grass, the owner gets a letter once a year, and after that we just send the contractor out to mow it because that's your one courtesy letter.
But if you have something in your lease with the landlord, then the landlord could take you to court.
The landlord could, but the city is not.
Right. No,
deal.
That would be part of it. That would be between those two. So just to let the tenant know, they're not off the hook.
No, you're definitely
that.
Not off the hook. And
and
if for other violations, for instance, if you have, you know, your old couch or your old refrigerator or some other trash on the front porch or on the deck, we can't come on your property and remove that trash or anything. So you, the tenant. Mm-hmm. Or the landlord could get a ticket for that.
Oh.
So it's your stuff, so you could get a ticket for that.
Right. So you want to get rid of that stuff then, yeah.
Right, so
we don't want
get
that
rid
out
of that
there.
As well.
There is like so much. I'm actually seeing a lot of other things that we didn't even get a chance to cover. There is so much about landlords and tenants that you have definitely got to come back because there's just no other way we can do this. But I think one of the most important things is make sure that your house is, if you're in a rental, that it's certified, it has a rental right. with it. And to do that, you can go on shorelinecity.com, look up safe built under departments, mm-hmm. click that, and in there you're going to have a search where you
rental
can
registration search.
Look up your house today and mm-hmm. see if they have one of those. If they don't, what should they do, Debbie?
They should call our office.
At what? What
724-6766. We'll look it up, make sure that whatever was on the internet, mm-hmm. whatever was on the website right. is correct or whatever.
Right.
We'll verify that and give you any other information, and then we'll contact the owner if it is truly a rental.
Because we want it to be safe. We want it to be safe for all of our residents out there. And so just make sure you give us a call on that. And if you ever have any other questions about rentals or something that the inspections department or Safebuilt could help you with, you know, on some of the issues that we talked about today, you can certainly, again, give them a call at the 724-6766.
Right, 6766 is yeah. the rental department. And okay. then the main office number is 724-6715. And anyone who answers can try to help you.
Right, right. All right. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Debbie, and sharing all this great information. And I definitely have to book you again.
All right. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.